All right, joining us is a real favorite of the show, one of the best baseball writers in the country. He's based in Chicago. We talk Cubs and White Sox with him all the time. But he helped Bud Selig write a book, and the book is called For the Good of the Game. It's been in the news all week long, and that is the great Phil Rogers. Phil, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing very well. It seems a little early in the day for lefty O'Doul's for me, but never a bad time.
Well, the buffet you'll get you in tomorrow with the breakfast, mimosas and Bloody Marys. We'll get you out there for that. I'd love to see you out here. We need you out here in the Bay Area. You coming out anytime soon?
Nothing scheduled, but I love it when I'm out there, no question. And especially in October, all the postseasons I've covered, there's never a better place to go in October than the Bay Area, either side. The weather is spectacular. I don't understand why it's cold in July and warm in October, but I welcome it when those teams are in the postseason.
That's why we live here, for that. But, Phil, you're part of the book with Bud Selig. It's For the Good of the Game. It's been all over the news this week with things that Bud has revealed in the book. And, of course, he is one of those, you know, magnets for reactions, and there have been a lot of reactions on the book. First of all, how did you get involved with it? Then we'll talk a little bit about Bud Selig and the book.
Yeah, you know, I had heard Bud say for a long time that when he stepped aside as commissioner, he was going to write a book. That was his thing. And like most everybody else, I kept waiting to see when the book was coming, and it hadn't come out. And then in the spring of 2018, just a little more than a year ago, I was contacted about possibly stepping in and being involved in the book. And, you know, I was kind of surprised that more hadn't been done up to that point. But to me, you know, I've known Bud since the 80s. I think I know his story. I thought I knew his story well before I stepped in. And I thought it was a really good story to tell, his whole life story. And if you have just a second, when I went to him to talk about possibly being involved in a project, you know, I said, okay, you're going to get a book. So your question has got to be, what kind of a book do you want it to be? And I had a couple of books that I had read recently, autobiographies that were just outstanding. Phil Knight's book, Shoe Dog, mm-hmm. and Andre Agassi's book, Open. Both just great books. And I said, you know, to me, you should want a book, you know, you should want one of these, a book like these. They're great reads. But if you're going to get that, you're going to have to be honest and open in, you know, discussing your time. You're going to have to discuss the lows as well as the things that made you the most proud. And it's going to have to be thorough. And again, back to honest and open. And I'm really gratified at the early reaction to readers and, you know, the people that have seen the book. You know, they talk about Bud's candor, and I think it surprised people that he was willing to take on all the subjects of his career. And, you know, I give him credit for being willing to kind of put himself out there and not try to sugarcoat things, or certainly not even avoid subjects he didn't want to talk about. And, you know, he's led a remarkable life as a baseball fan, and then an owner, and then the second longest standing commissioner, and in my mind, as influential of a sports commissioner as we've had all across the board since Pete Rozelle. So I was honored to be involved with it, and I think it turned out very well.
Oh, it's great. Phil Rogers with us. The book, of course, Bud Selig is the subject. For the Good of the Game. And I know at the Book Tree in Montclair, I saw David this week. They've got the book up there. And you can absolutely go up to the Book Tree in Montclair and get it. Of course, you can get it on any of the usual outlets. So Phil is with us. Phil, just to let the fans know a little bit of things that we may be interested in here that are in the book, because we could say that he reveals stuff, but when you actually read it and you say, wow, did he really say that? His true feelings about Barry Bonds and Henry Aaron. What about that?
Well, you know, I think that is sort of an in-your-face moment for somebody that reads the book, because he/we chose to open the book in 2007 when he's traveling around to various cities to try to be there when Barry breaks Henry Aaron's record. And it was, you know, for a guy that loves to be at the ballpark, that might be the one time that I don't think Bud really wanted to be at the ballpark, but he felt like as commissioner he should be there. But there had been so much, you know, we're talking about 2007, and the steroid story really started to dominate the headlines in baseball. Not so much in 1998, but by the second half of 99 and 2000 and on, even, you know, owners weren't able to get testing from the union, you know, even when they finally did get an agreement in 2002 for testing. The Balco raid, all these other things that just kind of kept steroids at the front and center. And, you know, Bud had a close relationship with Barry that I think went back to the amount of time that Bud spends in Scottsdale in the springtime, because that's where his second home is, and the Giants being based there. And you know, I think along that decade, you know, I think Barry, in ways that other athletes, including Alex Rodriguez and Sammy Sosa and other guys that were big in the steroid story, never really lost Bud the way that Barry did. And it just made it, to me, an interesting time to look at Bud going around following Barry, knowing it was inevitable that he was going to break Aaron's record. You know, Aaron, a guy that had been a close friend of his since 1958, and just not really feeling great about what was happening, but trying to do his duty. And, you know, I don't think for whatever reason, even though it's interesting how people have reacted, teams have reacted to all the different guys implicated in PED use. And, you know, obviously Barry still tremendously popular with the Giants and in San Francisco. Alex Rodriguez now seems like he's the assistant commissioner of baseball, or spokesman for baseball. And
he's going to be hosting, you know, the Oscars next week, probably. That'll be,
you
nice.
Know, and in Chicago, a pretty soft market and city, I think. You know, Sammy Sosa is somehow still persona non grata. So it's just all kind of played out different ways. But, yeah, there's a fair amount of Barry Bonds in this book, not just that tour, but, you know, the various times MLB had to go to Congress and deal with the steroid issue, you know, and just kind of the backlash damage from the Balco investigation and that awesome book Game of Shadows by Lance Williams and Mark Fainaruwada. And it just kind of was a story that wouldn't go away for almost half of the time that Bud was in charge of Major League Baseball.
Phil Rogers with us. The book is For the Good of the Game. It's Bud Selig's own words, with Phil helping him put it into writing. Give us one more revelation that maybe you were shocked or surprised when he told you this piece of information.
Well, there's to me, when I sat down to do it after – you know, trying to get us to be open and honest in how we did it. You know, there's two areas that I think were most significant for Bud's career. One was getting the steroid testing, and the second was just labor relations with the players and finally getting a deal that and stopping the constant work stoppages, be they strikes or lockouts. You know, it was ruining baseball, and Selig had to find a way to bring the sides together and make a piece that would last. And so there was a lot of labor in the story, in the book, and that's not necessarily a great topic of conversation unless, you know, you're in a labor law class somewhere, but there's interesting backstories to a lot of it. And that's what I tried to find and write about. And one of those came, I don't know about you, Marty, I kind of lost track, even though I was covering this for the Chicago, no, in 94-95, I was covering for the Dallas Morning News, the World Series eliminated, but I knew the replacement players in the spring, but I kind of lost track of what happened between when the announcement was there's going to be no World Series, and what actually happened was both sides agreed to turn it over to the federal government, to a federal mediator named Ussery, and it was going to be, it wasn't binding arbitration, but it was mediation. And the history was that both sides had always accepted if they couldn't find an agreement themselves, the mediator would kind of craft a solution and both sides would accept it. And so before teams went to spring training in 95 or were due to go to spring training, USRE finally, after like 3 months of meeting with both sides, summoned the party to D.C. to announce his findings. And he met early in the day with Selig and MLB. And they didn't love everything he suggested, but they were happy it was going to be settled. And I think Bud felt like, okay, this is good. You know, maybe in the next agreement we can get what it is we're really looking for, but we can get back on the field. And then nothing happened after that for the rest of the day. It was a really long day. They expected that by noon they would be called back to the White House and it would be, here's what we're going to do, over and done with. And finally, it was really late in the day, 5 or 6, before they were called to the White House, and they knew something had gone wrong. And what had gone wrong was that the union had gone against this history of following the mediator's recommendation and had basically told USRE, you know, forget it. We're not taking this deal that you have laid out as a compromise. We're not doing it. So 3 months of meetings were down the tubes, complete waste of time. And in the after effect of that, Selig wound up dropping a number of F-bombs at the White House, some in a meeting with Clinton.
I saw some of that on TV. That was one of the big issues.
Most of it was with Gore. It's like Clinton was kind of skated out of the room and left Gore there. And, you know, Bud just went after him with kind of a schoolyard vocabulary.
Yeah, funny, Phil, and I'm going to, you know, because we're going to run here, but in a second. But that kind of stuff in the book is, you know, the background of Selig that you don't, you saw him on the podium, you saw him talking. But what I like about the book is it explains the things that he said and did. And that's the part that we don't have. But now we have it. And as I say, he's a magnet for the PED stuff, for, you know, the steroid testing, for the wild card, for the strikes, for everything else. He was there. He was there, as they like to say. So I think you hit it pretty good in the book. I think it's great. So it's going well. I've seen a lot of it on TV.
Marty, one other quick, real quick thing. He was at the Ice Bowl in 1965, Cowboys-Packers. And famous game played 15 degrees below zero, wind chills more than minus 50 below. And he said when he got in his car to go to the game, and he had gone to Green Bay the night before and stayed up there, and so now he's getting in his car to go out to Lambeau Field for the game. And he said, you know, it was a little bit, it was cold. I was surprised because it had been a gorgeous day the day before. You know, like Wisconsin standards, it was only like 5 degrees the day before, and now it dropped to 15. But, you know, there's good Pete Rozelle stuff in the book, good Vince Lombardi stuff in the book, I think. It was an interesting project to be involved with.
I know you enjoyed it. No, I know you enjoyed it. Well, thanks for coming on, as always. We'll get you in a couple of weeks and see if the Cubs have figured out how to beat the Pirates, which they're doing today. And the White Sox, of course, are out here, and they've never been able to win in Oakland ever. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about when we get near July 31st.
Sounds good, Marty. Thanks a lot.
All right, that is Phil Rogers. The book, For the Good of the Game, Bud Selig with Phil Rogers. And I said you can get up at the Book Tree in Montclair.